Tonight I want to preach a message, Things I'm Committed to Teach and Preach. And not going to tickle any of your ears tonight. A lot of times you teachers and preachers, listen to me. Don't worry about tickling people's ears. Have a goal to put and leave something in people's hearts. I'm hoping to leave truth in people's hearts tonight. What I'm going to preach, you've heard over and over. But I want you to hear this. You need to, in the day we're living, and you that are teachers of the Word of God and preachers, you need to keep echoing the same things that I'm going to be preaching tonight. We need to stay with the truth. And I mean the old-fashioned gospel truth. Don't ever forsake it. There's a song, Tell Me the Old Story. Never gets old to me. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Glad you're here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's talking to one of his preacher boys, and he's trying to exhort him to continue with the Word of God. He said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where our strength is. We don't have no strength outside of Christ. And look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Heavenly Father, this is what went in my heart as I prepared, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me be a blessing. I really want to be. I pray that the truth of what I'm going to say, I know some might even not even be interested tonight, but I pray, I know your word never goes out void. And I pray tonight, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, go up and down the pews and open up hearts and put these basic truths that I'm going to speak tonight, let them linger, hope they linger forever in these people's hearts and in their minds. Help me now to do well for you, Father, that I could be a blessing to your people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you read there in verse 2, we are commanded by God to commit to teach others also. We're commanded to teach others his holy word, his principles, his doctrines, his commandments, his truths. We're commanded to find faithful men and women and teach them the word of God. This commitment that God's telling us about here in verse 2 is very important. Don't take this lightly, that verse 2. God says, hey, I want you to pass it on. Those great things that I put in your heart, I want you to pass that truth on. I always exhort in the ABL club, I always exhort the seniors to try to put truth in their grandchildren and their children and pass it on. Because grandma, in the coming days, if the Lord don't come back, the younger generation, they're going to be in need of great truth. Because we're fastly turning away from truth. The Bible says this commitment's very important. It teaches that this commitment is vital and for the strength of our lives and our Christian lives and the growth of our church and the growth of your personal walk with God, and for the work of God, it's vital that we teach others also. I always got blessed by Mal. He'd come to the Romans class. He'd come and learn on Romans, and then he'd take it and teach at where he worked. That's putting it in principle. By the way, God won't give you more unless you give out what you learn. Why would he give anybody something that, if you're not going to use it, why should he load you up? When a man loads his gun up, he has one reason, to fire it. If he's not going to fire it, don't load it up. There's no sense in loading up with the Word of God if you're not going to use it to reach others. Amen? Listen, this commitment, we are to pass the truth of God's holy word onto others, should not be taken lightly. Don't take this lightly. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for deacons. It's for all of us to take this wonderful truth that God has given us and pass it on to someone else. Now, I did write this. By the way, if you're not committed to the truth yourself, you'll never pass it on. If you don't have the truth of God in your heart, the truth of God's word in your heart, you won't pass it on. I know you won't. Because you got to believe it in your heart. You know what sells things? People make you believe in something. Hello? And if you don't believe it yourself, you think you're going to sell anybody else on it? Hello? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Look what Paul said. Paul said this in verse 12 in chapter 1. For the which cause I also suffer these things. By the way, he believed in the word of God, and he believed in the things of God, and he believed in the promises of God, and that's why he was willing to suffer, because he knew what he was suffering for was worth it. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Are you in verse 12 with me? For I know, boy, if you don't have it deep in your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have the principles of God in your heart, you're never going to be effective for God. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, hey, but I'm going to tell you right now, the reason I'm telling you, because what I've committed to him, I know he's going to be able to do it. He wasn't worried about losing his salvation. He knew God was going to take care of him. You'll never be a great soul winner. You'll never worry about people's souls unless you really know your soul's secured, that your soul's saved. If you don't believe in heaven, don't preach about heaven, because no one's going to believe you. Amen? Well, tonight I want to share with you some things I've committed to teach until my death or till the rapture pulls me and takes me up with the Lord. I want to give you some doctrinal truth tonight. And I want to say that these things I'm going to commit to, I'm going to teach forever. I'm going to preach forever. I'm going to stand on it forever and without waver. And here in these Bible doctrines I'm going to share with you tonight, I hope you'll have that same hope in your heart. And I hope you'll have that same commitment to say, I'm going to stay with this to the very end. And I'm going to believe these things to the very end. And I'm going to share these truths to the very end. By the way, I could have made 40, 50. I wrote down 10. Okay? How many are with me? Number one, here are some things that I'm committed to teach and preach to the day I die or to the rapture. Number one, I'm committed that the King James Bible is the pure, infallible, perfect, inspired Word of God. I'm never going to let anybody take my Bible from me. God gave us a Bible. Don't let anyone take the Bible from you. Listen, kids. When you read this Bible, I want you to know one thing. It's God's Word. I'll let you down. Jimmy, preach. I don't want to let you down, but preacher's just a man. I can fail you. But God's Word will never fail you. Andrew, I might even teach you a lie someday, but God's Word will never teach you a lie. I've got shortcomings, but this Bible's got no shortcomings. And this King James Bible, I'm not going to let anybody take it from me and try to give me another perversion, another different rendering. I've got what God gave me. And I'm happy, Brother Coolidge, I'm happy with what God gave me. I don't need another special rendering from a man that thinks he knows more than God. And the reason they produce the NIV and the KEY and the MOUSE Bibles, the Mickey Mouse Bibles, they do it for one reason: to make money. That's why they copyright them. This Bible's not copyrighted. Hello? That alone tells you, if you got any logic, hey, there's something pure about this. Scriptures. Are you still in Timothy? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse 15 and 16. See, you can't get saved without the King James Bible. Yes, sir. You can't. You can't get saved without the Word of God. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the, you got to have the Bible to get saved. I didn't get saved until I heard the Word of God. And look at verse 15. And I'm in 2 Timothy 3. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. See, these are holy. Because it's come from God. Which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. That's another reason Satan wants you to take another perversion. He don't want you to be saved. Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 16. All scripture. See, do you know why I had this for number one? Because this is the bedrock. Everything else I'm going to teach you, Brother Knight, Brother Mark, that I believe, comes from this. So if I don't believe this, then all those other ones are worthless. See, by believing this, everything else builds from it. If you don't believe this, then everything else you have, you've got nothing. Because this is where it hinges and stands on. It's your foundation. Are you with me? Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I don't care what people tell you today. There might be some telling you that the Bible is not inspired. It's not preserved. It's not. But don't you believe them. You let God be true and every man a liar. Well, preacher, you don't. No, I'm just going to take this old King James Bible to my grave. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to teach and preach and believe with all my heart. It is the pure word of God. And I'm not going to let anybody take it. I don't care how many doctor's degrees. I don't care how many books they wrote. I don't care how big a church they got. I don't care if they got a church at all. I don't care if they got money or they're pauper. I don't care. I'm not going to let anybody, rich or poor, great or no stature, take my Bible from me. All scripture is given by inspiration of, but you think, you know why I'm making a big fuss over this? I probably won't get to 10. I didn't realize I might get stuck on one. One thing before Jesus comes back, Dr. Hiles even said this himself. He said the greatest battle before the rapture. He believed that, actually he didn't say the rapture, he talked about the coming years after he died. He said the greatest battle I see coming on the forefront for the churches is over the King James Bible. He knew it would be attacked. See, because if I can get you to go away from the Bible, then you got no sure standing. Because if you don't have it, then where is it? And if we don't have it, Pastor Dave, Then what can I believe? Hello? All scripture. I'm glad God said all of it. Not just part of it. Amen? How many can say amen? Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to tell you right now, Bethel Baptist Church, I'm going to preach and teach with every breath of me that God has given me all I need in this King James Bible. Don't let man take it away from you. Psalms 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's God's perfect number. Verse 7. And isn't there something? Verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. If this is not preserved and inspired, then we don't have it. Then God lied. Because he said in his word he would keep it forever. Now, last time I looked, Brother Mark, forever meant forever. Amen? So, number one, I'm committed to the Bible, believing it's a perfect, inspired, infallible, perfect word of God. Number two, I'm committed to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Don't ever, you know, you young people, they'll tell you that Jesus, that he wasn't born of a virgin. They'll even tell you that he was with Mary Magdalene after he was born. Don't believe all that foolish rot. That's from Satan. But Jesus, what we call, had a virgin birth. The Catholics call it the Immaculate Conception. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Ghost. When you read, why don't you read Matthew chapter 1. Let's read it. I'll just go for a little while and whatever, how many I cover. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Look at 1:18. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, being before they came together, she was found with child. She wasn't pregnant. She was with child. And she was with child of the Holy Ghost, not Joseph. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's a miracle birth, man. There was never one like it before, and there'd never be another one like afterwards. A one-time shot. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If he wasn't conceived without in a virgin, he couldn't die for our sins. Because he'd have the blood, like I preached from Adam, he'd have tainted blood from Adam. If Joseph or any other man would have been his father, his DNA would be polluted, corrupt. He had to be born of a virgin, because you don't get blood from the woman, you get blood from the husband. Are you with me? And he got his blood from God. That's why they called him Emmanuel, God with us. How many are still with preacher? And look at verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. She'll bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And look at verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Brother Eddie, Joseph never had intercourse with Mary, his wife, until after Jesus was born. She was a virgin after she conceived, and she was still a virgin when Jesus was born. Hello? How many are still with me? That's a major doctrine. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give that virgin birth away. Because without a virgin birth, you don't have a sinless Savior. And without a sinless Savior, you don't have salvation. Number three. Jesus shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. What book? I got you in Matthew. Well, you might as well turn to Romans. It's the closest one there. By the way, it's filled. The blood's all through. You're starting from Genesis. You got the blood. God killed innocent blood for Adam and Eve to be clothed. Abel offered up blood. How many are still with me? Moses offered up blood. Noah offered up blood. Moses, all down through the generations, they offered up lambs. That's why when Jesus came, they said, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus was God's lamb. Isaiah 53 wrote about the lamb that was going to become, and by his stripes we're healed. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. That word remission means forgiveness. That are passed through the forbearance of God. Look at another scripture while you're turning to it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. These are doctrines that I'm going to teach and preach till either I die or till Jesus comes and gets me in the rapture. And I hope these doctrines that you'll keep in your heart. In whom we, Ephesians 1:7, I've got another scripture in Ephesians 2. 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his what? Blood. the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. That at the time that you were without Christ, there was a time before we were saved. When you were lost, you were without Christ. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens, that don't mean like do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That don't mean those guys in little. No, he's talking about us being aliens from Christ, alien from the commonwealth of God, lost sinners, condemned, not justified. How many of you are with me yet? That you being without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers, and from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God. In this world, buddy, that's where we were. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for that, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews. Let me give you one more. Hebrews, and I'll move on. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 11. This blood atonement, Sergeant Kotyra, is very important. Don't ever, when you teach the Word of God, don't ever take away that. I know you won't, because I know you're fundamental. Stay. This is being a fundamentalist. Brother Jack, people don't like you to talk about the blood.
Well, those Baptists, they got a bloody religion down there.
You ain't kidding, we do. Our Savior had to shed his blood for our sins. They like to take that. That's why they're doing those other false perversions. They take the blood out. They take the virgin birth out. So Mary's just a maiden instead of a virgin. See, do you see how Satan works? See, that's why you got to stay with this stuff. I know I'm not saying anything that you never heard, but I'm saying it so you'll keep hearing it, so you'll keep holding on to it. But Christ being come a high priest of good things by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Christ's own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption of us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer, a sprinkled of unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Can anyone say amen? You just read that whole chapter, and you want to go down to verse 22. And almost all things by law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. I'm going to tell you right now. Christ, look at verse 26. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. How many see that? Christ gave he shed his blood, he gave his life. Thank God for that blood. I believe in the blood atonement. And I'll preach it and teach it to the day I die. By the way, I noted here, without the blood, you got no salvation, because it's the blood that cleanses from our sins. Amen. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Amen. So number three, I'll teach and preach. I'm committed. I am committed forever to the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Number four, I'm committed to preach and teach the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, no other person can claim this, Brother Coolidge. I know there's a lot of false gods and people claim their God, but no other person can claim this, the resurrection, other than Jesus Christ. I'm committed to the resurrection of Christ. I noted here, look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. If you don't want to turn, just let me read to you. In chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. A lot of people claim to be the Messiah. A lot of people claim to be the Christ. Here's the disclaimer right here. Here's the one that'll tell you, you know, the Coca-Cola, you kids go, this is the real one, honey. This is the real one. God says, here's how you know the real one right here. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. He was holy. He was without sin. And by the resurrection from the dead. Brother Mike, when Jesus came up that third day from the grave, he made a statement to the whole world. Hey, you've been looking for the Son of God? You got him. Here I am. I just proved it to you. God said, the real one, baby, would come up from the grave the third day. And he did. No one else did it. They're all still sitting in the tomb with their bones rotted out. But not our Savior. See, there's power in the resurrection. You teachers and you Bible preachers, you preach on the resurrection. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen? The resurrection. I'm going to tell you, he came up that third day just like he said he would, and no one else can make that claim but Jesus Christ. Where do I have you at? Romans? Look at Acts. Look at the book in front of it. And not only did he raise that third day, he walked around on this earth for 40 days afterwards. Look at Acts 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive. He showed himself, I'm in Acts 1:3. Acts is right in front of Romans. So just go back. You're in Romans, so go back one book. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many. He showed himself alive. How many see that? Alive. And showed himself by many infallible. Infallible means you can't disprove it. There's no error. Infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He walked around after he rose from that grave for 40 days. Over in Corinthians, we'll not turn to it. But we will turn in just 1 minute, but we're not going to read it because I'm going to read another scripture there. It says that at one time, over 500 people saw him. At one time. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach and teach the resurrection of my Savior till I have no breath in me. Look at First. You want to see how important that resurrection is? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know it's a little after 7. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, verse 1. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and brethren, wherein you stand. I hope you're standing in it. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad I got a risen, living Savior. Amen? He's risen. He's alive. No one could stop him. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down. I give it. I have power to take it back up. And he's exactly what he did. And by the way, you have no hope. If you didn't have that, look at verse 19 and 20 in that same chapter. If he didn't raise from the dead, you and I've got no hope. And everything I preach today about having that brand new body and no more sorrow, no more death, and no more crying, forget it. Because, Arlene, we have that hope. If we don't have that hope, if he doesn't resurrect. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are all men, most men. You know, a lot of people say, well, the death just stops at the grave. Don't you believe that lie. I'm going to tell you, death, you just start to live after death. Then people step out of time into eternity. But now, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got hope. I'm glad he's risen. I'm glad he resurrected just like he said he would. Hallelujah. My Savior's risen. He's real. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's reigning. And praise God, one day soon, he's going to return. So I'm committed to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number five, I'm committed forever to eternal security of the believer. I'm just going to quote you scriptures. John 3, no, go ahead and look at it, and then I'll quote a bunch of them later. I'm not going to probably get done with all these, but I'm going to give you a few of them. John chapter 3, look at verse 15. Oh, I thought you said 16. No, I want you to look at 15. A lot of people, I love 16, but you know, a lot of people should read 15. Yeah. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. John 3:15. Then he says it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, I'm glad anybody can come to him, not just for the elect. It's for whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. I preached to you about grace and works Wednesday, and I told you how we're kept by the power of God. And that it's all by grace and nothing by works. We're not keeping our salvation. We're kept by God. We're sealed by God. Ephesians 4:30. Amen? And so, look at John 5:24. Are you in the book of John? Look at 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth in him that sent me, hath, that's already past tense, hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Look up here, Bailey. The moment Grandpa trusted Jesus as his Savior when I was 20 years old, I passed from death, going to hell, to life, eternal. The very moment I trusted Christ. If you trusted Christ, listen, even though you're not in heaven yet, God already sees you risen in him. The Bible says he sees us risen in him. He that calls those things which are not as though they are, he says, you're risen. He already sees us up in heaven with Christ. You're going to call God a liar? I'm not. Amen? Look at John chapter 10. And I'll quit on that. By the way, there's thousands of them. John chapter 10. This is a good one, though. You know it. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. You ain't got nothing to do with it. He's the giver, you're the taker. So one of the songs, he was the giver, I'm the taker. I give unto them, 28 of John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I'm out of my Father's hand. I, my Father, are one. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm committed. I'm committed to teach and preach the eternal security of the believer. The Bible teaches it. 1 John 5 says these things are written, 5:13 in 1 John, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Amen? Of course, there's thousands of scriptures. You just go on and on. Number six, I'm committed to preach and teach that salvation is a free gift from God. It's a free gift. This is what I worked on Wednesday. You think, boy, this is old stuff. This is good stuff. Listen to me. Yeah, you younger ones, listen to me. This is all basic stuff. But if the Lord doesn't come back and preacher goes up to be with him and you're left behind, Andy, you young boys, Austin, you remember what preacher's teaching because you are going to be the ones that are going to have to, Jimmy, what preacher's teaching you today, if the Lord doesn't come back in my lifetime, you are committed. These very things. Someday, even Brother Mark might not be there. He's younger, a lot younger than preacher, but if the Lord would not come and we would go to be with the Lord, someday if he does, I believe he's going to come before you kids get real old. I believe that. But if he doesn't, these little basic truths that preacher's given you tonight, you get him in your heart.
Amen.
You get him in your heart. You listen to this old man. Amen. You get him in your heart. You get him in your heart, Jimmy. Because someday, Jimmy, you might be the preacher or the teacher that's teaching, or the deacon that has to teach other people. And you've got to have them in your heart so they will have them.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? I'm committed to the free gift. The salvation is a free gift from God, all by grace, no works. Just write these. I'm just going to quote Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And I took get the whole. Did we tape Wednesday's message? I had a message called, it was on grace and truth. Grace versus works and law. I think that's what I called it. Grace. And I told you, I took a whole message on grace against law and works. Boy, that was a great message. Hope you got to hear it. If not, get the tape. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man." Salvation is a gift. Psalms 3, 8 says, "Salvation is of the Lord." It's all God. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." So salvation is a free gift. Never let loose of that. Number 7, there is a real heaven and there's a real hell. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, "Unless you repent, you shall likewise perish." When you read Luke 16, we'll not turn to it tonight because it's already close to 7:15. I was talking to Mel and Lonnie. We had dinner together today. Had some, how do I call that rice? Sagana? How do I say that rice? Synagogue. I had synagogue today, and it was good, man. Synagogue. I had synagogue. Filipino. It was good. I had 3 helpings full, man. We were talking about in the Philippines. He said, if I ever go there, he said, "Preacher, that the people come for church in the morning. They don't leave till 10 o'clock that night." He said, "Preacher, you have to preach 3 or 4 messages." Says they don't even want you to stop. You preached, and I've had Steve Dillon, other missionaries tell me, you only go and preach 2 messages, they're mad. Here, I'm preaching about 5 minutes over already, and you're saying, "Oh, when's he going to get done?" Boy, we live in a sad country, don't we? That's why, because you don't want to hear the word of God, that's why this country, and this is a great church. What's the condition of this country? If we're one of the top shelves, kind of scary, isn't it? The Bible says in Luke 16, in verse 19 through 31, there was 2 people that died, a rich man and a beggar. How many remember that story? The rich man opened up his eyes being in torment. The beggar was Abraham's bosom, which is a type of heaven. There is a heaven. Jesus talked more about, and there is a hell, and Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And he knows heaven because that's why he came and died. If he didn't need a Savior, if there wasn't a heaven and wasn't a hell, then why did Jesus come from heaven to try to get us redeemed so we can go there? You know, the Jehovah Witnesses say, there's no hell. Don't you believe that? There's no unbelievers in hell. I'm going to tell you that right now. And there's some people who say, well, death, once you die, you have no conscience. There's nothing. It's over. Don't believe that lie. By the way, when you die, you just start to live forever. And you either live forever in heaven or live forever in hell, but you're going to live somewhere. Because we are an eternal being. We were made in the image of God. God's eternal. He made us eternal. Our soul and spirit never dies. Our body dies, goes back to the dust, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed his nostrils, breath on. Man, we go back to the ground, but our soul and spirit... And then one day, God's going to resurrect that dust and make a brand new body. Hello? For the saved, the lost people are going to get a new body, but they're going to be in hell. How many are still with preacher? And so, by the way, just for the fun of it, look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Hell was made for Satan and all those that didn't believe in God. Matthew 25, 41. Then he said also unto them, on the left hand, I'm in Matthew 25, 41. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Everlasting fire. "Prepare for the devil and his angels." How many see that? Look at verse 20, 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." but the righteous into life eternal. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Can anyone say amen? And I'm committed to teach and to preach that until the day Jesus takes me home or up in the rapture. Number eight, I'm committed to the new birth. John 3:3 says, Jesus said to a priest named Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He repeats himself in verse 7 of John 3, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Bible says, therefore, if any man be in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. To be a new creature, you got to have that new birth, being born again. Amen? So I'm committed to the new birth, and so was Jesus. He was committed that people had to be born again. And then number nine, I'm committed to the promise of his return. Jesus said he would return again, and I'm committed to preach his return. By the way, thousands of times there's reference of Christ coming back. I think they said one in every three or one in every four verses, there's a reference of Christ's return. If you don't believe Christ is coming back, you don't read your Bible very much. In the New Testament, that's over and over. I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. I'll just quote you one scripture. You can put this with your John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and he did, and he is. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive to myself that I will come again. I will come again. How many got that? I will come again and receive to myself that where I am, there you may be also. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. The angel said, this same Jesus which is taken up will come back in like so manner. Acts 1, 10 and 11. I'm going to tell you right now, over and over and over, the Bible talks about Christ coming back. In Matthew 25 and 24, he said, watch, watch, Matthew chapter 20, watch and be ready, for you know not know what hour. Over and over and over, the Bible just, Thessalonians, you name it, Timothy, don't be soon shaken in mind for the appearing of Christ. Just over and over and over, 1 John 3 says, and first one says, behold, we're called the sons of God. It does not, when Christ shall appear, and we shall see him as he is. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, thousands and thousands of scriptures on the coming again of Christ. Bible says in Peter, there'll be scoffers in the last days say, where is his coming? I'm going to tell you, let them scoff. They scoffed at Noah too. Don't ever forget, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. Well, it's been a long time, yeah, but you know what? They said that in Noah's day, too. He's coming back. There's not going to be no flood. Yeah, there was. He's not coming back. He is. Matter of fact, I believe he's coming real soon. I believe you kids are, for sure you kids are going to see it. You kids are going to see it. But you know what? And for some reason, if he doesn't come, Andrew, if you are 75 years old and Jesus hasn't come, I want you to get up here and yell and scream and spit and say, I'm telling you right now, he's ready to come.
Yes. Amen.
I want you to have it in your heart.
Amen.
That deep. You could put a gun in my head. I don't care. He's coming.
Amen.
See, that's what you need. You look up here. You young people, Austin Skyver, you need to have these kind of truths in your heart. Because Grandpa, there might be a day Grandpa won't be here. I'm planning on being here. If I can be here to protect you kids, I'll be here as long as Jesus let me. But if Grandpa's not, you need to have this in your heart.
Yes, amen.
These are truths that should never leave your heart. Number 10, I'll quit. That God is the creator. That could have been number one. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Don't ever let him take your creator from you. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalms 19:1. Psalms 14, only a fool has said in heart there's no God. Someone tells you there's no God, they're a fool. Look up here, kids. You go out someday and look up and see all the stars. You go up and look out and see the stars. You know what the stars are saying? Duh, there's a God. You go out and see a rainbow, Grant, next time you see a rainbow, God says over in Genesis, it's a covenant with me and man. It's a perpetual covenant. And every time you see a rainbow, you go, hey, God, You're still up there. Because that rainbow proves that God's still here. There is a God. There is a creator. Let people laugh. One day they're going to face him.
Yes, sir.
One day you're going to face an almighty God.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And by the way, if I can put this with the creation, just put this like a creation. He's also going to make a new heaven and new earth. You can even make it 11. Just put this in with number 10. New heaven, new earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Let me close with this scripture. In 2 Peter, it's Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, I saw a new, 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and I saw there was no more sea. How many see that? Amen? Let me read Peter to you and I'll quit. By the way, aren't you glad I only took 10? Because there's a whole lot more. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll close, verse 12, right around verse 12. Let's look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come, he's coming, as a thief in the night. How's a thief come when you're not expecting him? When Grant's not looking for him, when his buddy's not looking, that's when he's going to come. He'll say, man, that preacher was right. Man, that little fat fellow, he was right. Little chunky fellow, he was right. Little silverhead guy. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. I can't wait till God calls Grant to preach. That's going to be so exciting. He takes the worst. See, you just like preacher when I was your age. You can't believe it. I showed you I was a pretty good looking kid too. Like, yeah, remember I showed you the pictures? He knows what I'm talking about. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I can't wait till he preaches. I hope I hear. Hope someday God calls him to preach to him. Wouldn't that be exciting? He takes all the kids that you give up on. You people, you give up on these kids that say, "Oh, I'm glad God didn't give up on me. I'm glad God didn't give up on me." Grant, I never was even in church. I wasn't fortunate to have a mom and daddy take me to church. Thank God you got Christian parents. Take you hear the word of God. But it usually takes guys like Grant and me. Because we like to win. I watched him. He likes to win. He hates to lose. And he's like, he's a little scrapper. See, the ministry's not for sissies.
Right.
The ministry's not for sissies.
Yeah.
And so it usually takes guys like that kid. Don't be surprised if God ever calls him to preach. You say, people almost had heart attacks when they found out I preached. People watched me grow up in North Toledo. I built a church. Went back where I grew up, Grant, and I built a church. I built a church right where 10 houses from where I grew up. North Toledo, Galena Street, Superior and Galena. I grew up 10 houses right on Superior Street. And people saw the sign. Lighthouse Baptist Church, Pastor Richard E. Skiver. And the old folks. They actually called the church. Hey, I saw the sign out there. It says Richard Skiver, pastor. Would that be Margaret and Harvey's kid? Surely it can't be. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm the kid. God saved my soul and changed my life.
Amen.
I wish they would have said that. They all didn't say that. They said a lot of things, but I can't. They said, I'll be. And Grant, the kids I went to high school with, because I was kind of always in trouble and I had a way of finding things out and doing things I wasn't supposed to. I just like to have fun. When I got saved, someone found out. They actually came to the lighthouse and they got saved. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And the men at Allied Chemical, Mike, that I before when I was lost, I ran with them and did all the wicked and rotten things and tore up things. And some of the toughest men. One man was named Cleo Clark. He could clean a bar out. Just an old timer, tough, strong as nails, Mike. He came and said, "I can't believe you got religion." I said, "I got more religion, Cleo. I got saved."
Amen.
I remember him and his wife came. Leo got saved. Cleo Clark and his wife became faithful members. Some of the girls I used to know, they came and got saved, became members of our church. Hello? How many are still with me? Don't you give up on kids. Don't you give up on kids. I'm going to tell you, we all got to grow up. Hello? Hey, I'm 60 years old and I'm still a kid. Eddie White's 50-some years old. He's still a kid. He still thinks he can go out and play football with these young kids. He's learning. He can't. Are you still with me? I'm going to tell you something. God takes the people that you think. I told Brother Tim, he don't know. He might be raising all kinds of preachers. You don't know what God's going to do with those kids. Hey, Grant, I'm trying to embarrass you, son. But if God can call me to preach, he can call you to preach. You ain't no worse than I am, buddy. I don't want you to look at it, but you ain't no worse than I am. As a matter of fact, I think you're better than me. I know you are. And God still called me to preach. I hope he gets you, buddy. I hope he gets you. Wouldn't that be cool? Hey, Grant Weiss, did you hear about Grant Weiss? God got hold of his heart. He said, God's calling him to preach. I know your first word will say, nah. Because they said about me, nah. I shouldn't say this, but I will. Because I didn't have a good life. The first day I got married to Rosie, I used to be a flirt with a lot of girls before I got married. And they hadn't saw me for months. And me and Rosie just hadn't been married one day. We walked into a store and took one girl, they come and give me a kiss. And I said, "This is my wife. I've only been married one day. I haven't seen those girls for over a year, Rosie." And I said, "This is my wife." How many are still with me? You say, "Man, preacher, I could tell you stories and make your ears curl." But I'm not gonna. And by the way, Romans said all those things. When you study the book of Romans, and it's 7:30, I'm almost done. When you read the book of Romans, all those things I did before I was saved were vain and worthless and for naught. Hey, Andrew, you and Austin, you can. I wish I would have never took one drop of alcohol. You kids that are grown up in church, you ought to dedicate your heart. I'm never going to take another drop of alcohol. I'll never have a drop of alcohol touch my tongue. Oh, I'm not happy I did. I'm lucky. Folks, you don't understand. The kids I grew up with, most of them are all dead now or in prison. It was not a glamorous life. I'm just saying, God can take the lowest of the low and use them for his glory. But I'll tell you, he likes to take these pure vessels a lot better. I hope you're not misreading the preacher. I don't want you to go out there and cause all kinds of havoc. I'm just telling you, God can choose anybody. And Mark, I'm just glad I didn't die before I got saved. And I'm glad he called me to preach. I'm glad he saved me and called me. But boy, you young people, man, I wish I could have prepared when I was young. I never went to church until I was 20 years old. A couple times I was a kid. My mom and dad never took me to church. I went by myself. Get this truth in your heart. Hey, Dee, I know it's family night tonight. You're all wanting to go home. I remember when I was just a young kid, probably about Jimmy's age. The reason I know my mom and everybody told me, I went to church, it must have been Easter Sunday. I went by myself down to Riverside Baptist Church. It was just half a street down from where we lived. I remember this guy preaching about the resurrection. And I remember, I'm just a little kid and I'm a snot-nosed booger. Okay. And I came home and I told my mom, when I grow up, I'm going to be a preacher. And they never forgot those words. Isn't that amazing? About Jimmy's age. That's amazing. Never even thought about it till after I got saved. Hello? Matter of fact, I never even thought about it till years after I was called to preach. Look up here, folks. I know I'm going long tonight. I'm trying to put something in your heart. Don't give up on any person. You never know what God, you don't know what God can do. But by the way, he wants to do it in all your lives. Yes. And young people, I'm very fortunate. 98% of the kids that I ran with, maybe 99%, went under. Fortunately, God brought Rosie into my life. Had I not met Rosie, and she took me to hear the word of God, I would never be preaching today. It's quiet here tonight, isn't it? And for over 40 years now, I was called to preach when I was 21. For 39 years, almost 40 years, I've been preaching this old King James Bible. And I'm not going to let none of it go. I'm not going to let anything go. I'm going to keep it all in my heart. I'm going to close with that scripture. I'm in 2 Peter. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Earth also and the works thereof shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now that is global warming. That is global warming. Mr. Gore, I will agree to that. That is, Brother Brent, that is really, really, really global warming. I mean, that's real global warming. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. There's some things I've committed in my life to teach and to preach and to pass on to others. I hope you'll get some of those things in your heart and you'll pass on them. You'll commit them too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, with all my heart that you'd help us as your children, to take your Bible serious, to take the doctrines and the truths serious. Help us to, Lord, as the scripture says over in Deuteronomy, to make them an ornament around our neck so we have them committed to our heart. Oh God, may your word be a part of our life. And may we have the sure promises and truth deep in our hearts. May we know, like Paul, that we believe in whom we believed in and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Lord, help me to, with that truth in my heart, also teach others also. Help me to teach others also those great truths. Those truths that you put in my heart, Help me to find faithful people who will learn and will commit to teach others also, and will believe on those promises that you gave us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I really did tell you that heaven's real, hell's real. If you're here today and you never asked Christ to save you, you're going to die and go to hell. You're one heartbeat from hell. You can laugh all you want and kick the preacher off, but heaven's real, hell's real. And unless you're born again, you're going to go straight to hell. Heaven's real. Heaven is real. Jesus said, you must be born again. And if you die, young or old, if you die knowing that you need Christ as your Savior and don't take Christ as your Savior, you will perish forever in a lake of fire. And I'm committed to teach you and preach to you those truths of the Word of God, that Christ loves you, that he came and died just for you. He arose that third day so you could have forgiveness of all your sin and that you could have eternal life. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I've asked Christ to save me. I've repented of my sin and I've asked Christ to save me. And you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Would you raise your hand? I'm positive. I'm positive. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any tonight say, Preacher, no one's looking. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Won't come to you, won't embarrass you. Just let me pray. Say, Pastor, I'm concerned. I don't want to die and go to hell when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to open my eyes in hell being in torment like that man over in Luke 16. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Hell's real. And I don't want to miss out in heaven because heaven's real. Christians, just a plain old message of fundamental doctrinal truth. Get the truth and hold it. And sell not. The Bible says not to sell it. Hold on to it. Father, I did the best I could. I believe I did what you told me. And I pray these young people and the old alike will have this truth in their heart. I didn't make anyone excited tonight about, didn't tickle their ears with no great Bible illustration. But Father, I pray that the living truth of God will linger in their hearts. Oh God, I pray these basic, wonderful truths of the Bible that we committed them tonight to, I pray they'll stay in their heart. Holy Ghost, seal them in their hearts. Draw them close to you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse of invitation. If you want to come, you come right now.